Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Got a packed show. John Feinstein joins us today. Dave Jagler, voice of the Nationals at 8:40. Plus, we have Brandon Lang, handicapper. We got Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter. Marlins Man is going to be on the show.
Marlins Man.
And at 7:45, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Nationals home opener and tickets to go see Jay-Z and Beyonce at FedEx Field. But when you hear Newfound Glory on the show, generally, it means Kevin McCarthy joins us. He's the guy that does movie reviews for us.
Yep.
And on Fox 5 and Fox and Friends. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, good morning, JP. Hey, good morning, guys.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
What's up?
So you finally can officially talk about Ready Player One, because you've been hinting for weeks that it's the best movie of the year. You're going to give it a 5 out of 5. You finally can talk about it.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you guys, could I have your permission? And I know every single week I get like super nerdy or whatever, but like, could I have your permission to just get a little extra nerdy today in regards to some of the filmmaking stuff? Because I found just what Spielberg did here technologically, advancing virtual reality, just it blew my mind.
So it's fine. I'll keep it concise. We'll allow that. We may mock you for it, but we'll
allow
that.
Why don't you give us a general overview of the movie? I think that there's a lot of nostalgia in this movie, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, JP. It's very nostalgic. The whole point of the film is that it's a kind of like a pop culture nostalgia element. That's kind of like the surface, the sprinkles that gotta go on top of the ice cream of what this movie really is. And the concept here, Ernest Cline wrote a novel, and it takes place in 2045, and Wade Watts is the lead character of the story, and he's played by Ty Sheridan in the movie. He was in a movie called Mud with Matthew McConaughey a couple years ago. Jason, I don't know if you saw that.
Did not.
Amazing actor. He's a great actor. But so the concept is people in 2045 don't want to live in the real world. They want to live in this virtual reality world called the Oasis. And in the Oasis, you can do whatever you want, be whoever you want, look like whoever you want. And it's kind of one of those things where like we're disconnecting from reality and not really kind of having FaceTime with people. So there's a contest in the film. The guy who created the Oasis is named James Halliday. He's played by Mark Rylance. Mark Rylance won the Oscar for Bridges of Spies, Spielberg's film, a few years back. And what he does is, before he passes away, he creates a contest that you have to collect 3 keys, and whoever gets to the 3rd key first and gets to the Easter egg within inside the Oasis, they will actually own the Oasis. Now, that might sound super nerdy, but in layman's terms...
Of course it does.
But here's the thing. In reality, here's what it all means. Oasis is worth over $500 billion. So if you own the Oasis, you own the world. You own the future.
That's so you're entering that world and you're trying to get an egg. And what is happening inside the world while you're trying to get the egg?
Yeah, so the Easter egg, it's like a metaphor element. But Easter eggs generally are things that people hide in movies or video games that people have to find. If you're super nerdy, you can look for things. And it's just called an Easter egg in general. But the contests are what kind of lead you there into winning the contest. Here's the cool thing, and this is the two only things I'll get to technically that I want to mention that I think are brilliant. So Spielberg, we all know, is on the forefront of technology. I mean, the guy, Jurassic Park, I mean, even the animatronic shark in Jaws, everything he's ever done has always been kind of like forefront of technology. Now, what they did was, there's two settings in this movie. There's the real world and the digital world of the Oasis. And what that means is the actors in real life were able to play their digital characters. They're called avatars. They do that through motion capture. So they wear dots all over their bodies and suits, and they're able to actually perform. So when you watch Ready Player One and you see a digital character on camera, that's a real person playing that person physically.
Gotcha.
Moving that exact motion. One other thing I want to mention. Because the Oasis is completely digital, how did the actors know what they were seeing? So VR goggles were created that Spielberg and the actors were able to wear prior to shooting their scenes, that they could walk around the environment and know where they were going to be physically when they shot that scene. So it's actually really insane how they pulled this off. And this is actually a movie that I recommend highly in 3D IMAX, only because when you enter the Oasis, the digital world, the depth of field in the 3D is beyond belief. And I've seen it three times now. Now, here's the question. After all, everything I've said, is the movie any good? It's absolutely mind-blowingly great for two reasons. One, it's not only a commentary on our society and on messages about social media and being on our phones and computers and not having that FaceTime. It's also a very fun film, action-packed. It's super well-directed. And every action scene you can see, one of the most frustrating things as a movie fan when you watch action movies is you can't see the action. It's all quick cuts and edits, and they're basically covering up for not choreographing an action scene correctly. Spielberg is the master at blocking action. Every scene is amazing. There's literally a shot in the movie where a T-Rex and King Kong are chasing a DeLorean. So, JP, you started off the segment asking me about pop culture and nostalgia. That's the whole movie. I mean, the whole movie, right, is basically there's references to Back to the Future. There's Star Wars. The book is all based on 80s pop culture. So there's like the soundtrack, Jason, Van Halen opens the movie. It's all 80s and 90s music. It's really, really cool.
I saw there was, I don't remember what character it was. I'm just going to throw this out there and not say it was. Like, they wanted to put Donkey Kong in the movie, and they had to actually create something different. I forget, it wasn't Donkey Kong, but there was somebody.
The Iron Giant.
There you go. The Iron Giant didn't release their rights.
Right. So that's the crazy part about this movie. And like, people, this is kind of behind the scenes stuff. But because he's Steven Spielberg, he could get the rights to a lot of things. But when you watch the movie, you're going to be wondering, how did they get the rights to Batman and Star Wars? And like, this is a Warner Brothers movie. Movie studios have different rights to different things.
So,
the Iron Giant is the character you're referring to. I can't remember the one that they couldn't get. But when you watch the Iron Giant in the movie, that's there because they couldn't get the right to another character.
Because I'm nerdy, I know the one they couldn't get was, I think it was Ultraman.
Yes, that's it. It was Ultraman.
I used to watch it, full disclosure, because I watched that as a kid.
I did too.
I saw a blurb about that in the news this week.
Yeah.
That's amazing that you know that. Yeah, I mean, like, I think you guys, see, here's the thing. You'll look at this trailer, and I know you guys don't like nerdy stuff specifically, but the trailer is very, very heavy on that nerd element. But every one of you in that room is going to know something in this movie.
I will probably love this movie. If it touches all of the 80s and 90s nostalgia, I'm in. I'm all in.
Is there any emotional development in this movie? Will we care about the characters?
That's the best part. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the film, at the beginning of the interview, is that since the actors are playing the characters through motion capture in the actual Oasis, everything feels real. So every time you're on a character's face during an emotional scene, Ty Sheridan and Olivia Cooke play the lead characters in the film. They have a romance. You feel every element of it. The villain, Ben Mendelsohn, who plays Nolan Sorrento, is amazing. Now, I read the book. So a couple things people are asking me is, do you need to read the book before watching the film? Not really. The book itself is actually the same shell of the movie, but the movie is a different experience. So to me, you do not need to read the book, but it actually, to me, it's better than the book.
What rated is the movie?
Oh, it's a 5. He's giving it a 5.
No, not that. I mean, like, is it a PG-13? Is it an R? What is it?
Yeah, it's PG-13. I think kids, I would... If I was a kid, if I was like 11 or 12 years old, this would be like the greatest thing of all time. It's such a cool experience. And when you actually dive into the Oasis in 3D, it's mind-blowing. It's also Steven Spielberg. I mean, like, Bo, by the way, Back to the Future. So we all love Back to the Future. The guy who did the music for this movie is named Alan Silvestri. And this is kind of crazy. Spielberg, in his entire career, theatrically, has only ever worked without John Williams 3 times. So John Williams, probably one of the greatest composers of all time.
Hot plate.
E.T., Jaws, Jurassic Park, Indiana Jones. But so crazy thing is Color Purple was done by Quincy Jones, and then Bridge of Spies was Thomas Newman. This is Alan Silvestri, and here's why. Alan Silvestri did the score for Back to the Future. So when you're watching Ready Player One, you're going to hear Back to the Future music while the DeLorean's kind of playing around. It is just crazy to see that. And when you watch a T-Rex and King Kong chasing the DeLorean, that's all I need in my life. I mean, it's the coolest thing ever. It's so much fun.
Yeah,
and I think people were a little worried about this movie because it's super CG heavy, but it doesn't feel that way because Spielberg is a master.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know you love the movie. You're giving it a 5. I just can't get into it. Just based on the trailer, I can't get into it. Jason, like you said, it's CGI heavy. I can't get into that.
But the CG works because people are playing those people. So, like, it's not just animation for animation's sake. You actually genuinely feel a person's presence under that character. And I think it's interesting because the movie is about virtual reality, so it lends itself to have that animation in it. But I will say this. When you jump into the Oasis for the first time, like, it's like I've never seen or experienced anything like it. And I know this sounds cliche to say as a movie reviewer, and a lot of people say this all the time. It's like a roller coaster ride. But I saw it for the third time the other night. And there's the first contest, which is a big, gigantic racing sequence with the DeLorean. And when I saw it in IMAX 3D over at Lockheed Martin, I was just like, it was as if I just got off a roller coaster and I wanted to jump back on the ride again and do that same scene one more time. It was like,
when they jump into the Oasis, are they playing Supersonic?
I'm trying to figure out if there's a Sonic reference in there. Chucky, there's a Chucky reference.
He wasn't following.
Was Noel Gallagher in the movie?
He didn't follow Jason's joke.
All right, so you're giving it a five.
It's a 5 out of 5, no question. And I'm looking at your Rotten Tomatoes score right now. I mean, like, you guys know how I feel about that. But I think the film, it's interesting. People are going in and they're going, I'm much more surprised about this than I thought it was going to be. Jason,
yeah.
I will make you a deal right now. I'll make you a deal. If you go see the movie and you don't like it,
I'll
PayPal you your money back.
Because I have a PayPal.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll Venmo you. I'll double your ticket price.
Yeah, because I have a Venmo account too. I have all of that.
You'll have to write an actual
That's
check.
That's pretty funny.
Hey, Kevin, have you seen, I know you can't review it yet, but have you seen A Quiet Place yet?
No, and I've heard it's amazing. So that I'm seeing Monday night in D.C. John Krasinski directed that movie. Yes. Emily Blunt is in the movie as well. They're married in real life. From what I understand, it's extremely intense, very simple, but also very fun and also scary beyond belief. Yeah. I haven't heard people talk about a horror movie like this since Get Out.
So make sure you text me after you see it.
Yeah, I see it Monday night at like 7 something. You want to come?
Monday night, 7 o'clock.
That's an NCAA tournament championship game.
I'll be in my bed waiting for the tip-off. No, I'll wait till I can see it on a Tuesday afternoon.
But Jason, think to yourself, what's more important, basketball or friendship? I mean, I think friendship is way more important than basketball. We both know that.
Actually, it's probably on Monday night, it's basketball. All right, thank you.
Jason, if you see it, I'll pay you back.
I got you.
By the way, I just looked up A Quiet Place on Rotten Tomatoes, 33 reviews.
33 likeys.
33 fresh.
I know, that's supposed to be really good.
It looks very scary.
Have you seen the trailers for it?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks good.
Don't make a noise. Better not do it.
You know who's really groggy right now?
JP?
Jason Bishop?
Nope.
Matt Cahill. A.K.A. Drab T-shirt.
He stayed up until 1 o'clock in the morning Thursday, and he's got to get up at 4. What is he thinking?
You know what he's doing? He's living life to its fullest.
Because he wanted to see King Felix beat the Indians last night.
I mean, I love Drab. He might be a little stupid.
No, he knows he can get energy.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
This is how he can get energy.
I got this for you, buddy. You gonna do one of these?
Yep.
When is my check coming? When's that happening?
Can someone put Kevin to bed? I mean, he's killing
I think
it.
He's adding to the spot.
JP.
Don't get caught being groggy at work. Pick yourself up a 5-hour energy on your way in.
Hey, JP.
You can grab a mixed berry, maybe a citrus lime. 5-hour energy is launching their Getting Back to 100% campaign.
Papa.
With a unique twist on this year's College Hoops tournament, you've got the ability to swap your incorrect selections during the tournament.
Papa,
as
please.
The game is being played, you see an upset in the making, swap the favorite out to ensure
JP?
Your bracket is 100% correct. Go to 5hourenergybrackets.com.
You're a pro.
Papa. Or click on the link on the fandc.com's homepage.
JP.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein joins us at 8. Dave Jagler, who covers the Nationals, at 8:40. We are going to give you a chance to win some Nats home opener tickets coming up in 20 minutes, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. We also have tickets to go see Jay-Z, Beyonce. Speaking of the Nationals, an article about where the Nationals are and that they may be as good as they're going to get, and kind of wanted to bring up this topic. So the Nationals are going to open up their season today, and of course the expectations are they get back to the playoffs, have a new manager in Dave Martinez, who we talked to when we were in Florida for spring training. And the article kind of just recaps the last few years, how they've won in this period of time, 95, 96, 97, and 98 games. But yet, in four playoff series, they've yet to get beyond the first round. And we were kind of wondering, what will it take for them to get over the hump this year? What do you think could make it different this year for the Nationals to advance beyond that first round of the playoffs, get to a championship series, if not the World Series? We want to hear from Nats fans, 800-636-1067. Also points out, and we've all talked about this and we know it, that you know, five key players, including Bryce Harper, may be free agents after the season. Key players like Bryce Harper and Murphy. Daniel Murphy.
Who else?
I don't have the list
Wieters,
in front of me.
Is Wieters a free agent?
But key
Although
players.
I wouldn't consider him key. Oh, Gio. Who else am I missing?
That's four of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, the big one obviously is Bryce.
I think the big two are Bryce and Daniel Murphy.
Yeah.
I mean, those, you know, your best two hitters, key to your lineup.
Yeah.
This is a strong lineup that they have. I don't know that you let those guys walk and you just slide in Victor Robles and
Defoe.
You know, yeah,
here's your
Defoe.
List of high
well, yeah,
price
but
guys.
Robles is going to play. I mean, he's not going to play this year a lot anyway, but he is going to be their starting center fielder at some point.
Harper, Murph, Wieters, as you mentioned, Gio, Madsen,
okay, Matt.
Kelly, Adams.
It's actually
right,
seven.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say though, some. I mean, Adams isn't a key player,
right?
But,
right. Those are like your
but like you,
relatively
like JP
big
said,
money guys.
I mean, Harper and Murphy are obviously key players.
Well, those are the key players.
First thing they got to do is they got to avoid all the injuries that they had last year. And every team has injuries. But
although they weren't really injured
no, they weren't.
In the postseason.
No, they weren't.
So really the question about how do you get over the hump is, what is the missing element for this team, if any, in the postseason? Because they're able to survive the injuries. Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. You always want to be healthy. They got into the playoffs.
Yeah, but my point is, when you're hurt and you miss, you know, 50, 60 games like a Trey Turner, it does affect you going forward into the postseason. I mean,
okay.
Remember, in the postseason, it wasn't very good.
Correct, but neither was Bryce Harper.
Correct. Well, he also got hurt.
Harper hit .211 in the postseason.
Right, so Harper was hurt in the regular season. Turner was hurt in the regular season. Strasburg's always hurt in the regular season.
Scherzer. Couldn't start game one.
Murphy. I mean, Eaton. I mean, they had injuries. And, you know, who knows? If Eaton's healthy all year and plays, they might be a different team. But they can't make the mistakes. They made some key mistakes in that series last
year. To me,
year.
It was kind of fluky. Actually, yesterday, somebody asked me, do you think the Nationals get over the hump this year, essentially?
Who knows?
At the gym. And I was like, I don't know. I
mean, if you knew that, you'd be a billionaire.
I was like, they're as good as they've been, and they make it to the playoffs every year. I mean, who would have predicted that Max Scherzer would give up four runs in an inning? He came in relief and gave up four runs in one inning.
Okay, well, he's never done that before.
I mean, understood,
that's not his role. It's a little different.
It was fluky. You know, like you always point out, Matt Wieters threw the ball in the outfield.
Right, that's not really fluky. That's a mistake. A pro can't do that.
Correct. But it's fluky in that it doesn't happen frequently.
Okay. All right. But I guess it comes down to, for me anyway, is you just have to execute and not make the key mistakes that they've made in the last four playoffs. And Harper certainly has to bat better than 211.
800-636-1067. I think the key to them offensively might be, I mean, it's kind of obvious. It's Trey Turner. If Trey Turner goes back to what he did
two years ago,
and he's healthy, as you said, and he wreaks havoc on the bases, steals 75 bases this year, they're going to be hard to stop. And that was the thing. A couple years ago, when they were in the playoffs, they relied so much on just the long ball. And I think they've changed the way that this team can win. They can win with the long ball. Guys like Bryce Harper, Daniel Murphy, Ryan Zimmerman, they're going to hit home runs. But they also have a good amount of speed now with Adam Eaton, and Michael Taylor, and of course, Trey Turner.
And it sounds like Martinez wants to be aggressive on the base paths, and he should. He should take advantage of that speed that he has on the roster.
Yeah.
So you might see that unleashed a bit here in 2018.
I mean, let's see what Eaton does. I mean, they were counting on Eaton big time last year, and that was just a devastating injury for them and for him. So let's just see what kind of role he plays. You would expect at the top of the lineup that he is going to make a lot of things happen. And like you said, Trey Turner, when he gets on base, if he walks, it's like a double.
And then we'll see if the manager makes a difference. And I bring this up. And again, we want to hear from you. 800-636-1067 with the national season open up today. What do you think gets them over the hump? Now, the Nationals obviously think changing managers make a difference, at least some people, even though we heard that Mike Rizzo wanted to bring Dusty back. They ultimately did make that decision. One of the things that I remember us talking about kind of throughout last season, but then in the playoffs was Dusty kept going to like Sammy Solis in relief. And they had made that trade or a couple of trades where they had Kinsler, Madsen, and Doolittle. And yet in the playoffs, he kind of went off script and he used Solis in spots that you didn't expect him to use them. And of course, he didn't come up big.
What, for matchups, right? He went lefty on lefty.
Instead of just going with, you know, they kind of developed it where Kinsler was like the seventh inning guy, Madsen was the eighth inning guy, and of course Doolittle was the closer. And instead, for whatever reason, Dusty Baker went away from those guys.
Just didn't work out. You know, who knows if Dave Martinez is going to make mistakes.
Correct.
He is.
I saw that Boston's manager was already getting criticized one game.
Yeah. So these guys are going to make mistakes. You just have to overcome it. Now, on paper, they're as good as anybody.
But do you think that could make a difference?
Who, Dave Martinez?
Yeah.
Could. Sure. I mean, I have no idea. Guys still have to perform.
Certainly.
You know, if Dave Martinez puts in Sammy Solis in a spot where he usually doesn't put him, Sammy Solis still has to get a guy out. But, and those other guys, like we mentioned, you know, the Trey Turners of the world and Adam Eaton, those guys have to perform in the postseason. They're going to be fine in the regular season. I mean, unless they have a ton of injuries and, you know, the Mets just play outrageous baseball.
I'd be a little bit worried that Gio is just primed to take a step back. Is he really going to have a sub-3 ERA in 2018 like he did last year?
Probably not. And you do worry about him.
Big ask.
You do worry about him in the postseason.
Tanner may pitch better.
Yeah.
I felt like Tanner kind of underperformed last year based on what he'd been doing prior.
Yeah, well, let's see how they're pitching leading up to their divisional round.
That may balance out, Cakes. The Gio may come down a little bit.
Yeah.
Or ERA up.
Bottom line is they've got enough talent on paper. They're going to win a bunch of games. Hopefully 92 or more.
Hopefully that's the case.
But when they play the Cubs or they play, you know, the D-backs or they play the Rock, whoever they're going to play in the divisional series, they just have to perform better than they have in the last four. Because their bats have died. They made mistakes. Manager made mistakes, bad decisions, and it cost them.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Jim is in Tyson's. Jim, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I love you guys' show.
Thank you, Jim.
This is going to sound kind of weird, but I think one of the number one problems they have is too much talent. Now, if you look at sports like basketball, where you only need five real players and you put super teams in Miami, Cleveland, and out in Golden State, that kind of breaks my point. But I've always looked at, like, the Capitals and the Nationals, and they have so much talent that the players don't have to go the extra step. The extra kind of like thing within themselves to win championships. I don't know what you guys think of that.
Well, I mean, look at Houston last year. Houston is loaded. They were loaded with talent last year.
And they added Garrett Cole to the rotation.
Well,
this
I'm just talking about last year.
Yeah.
And they were loaded. And they got it done. You know why? Because they performed in the postseason.
Right.
That's what they did. They hit and they pitched. And it all worked out for them.
I feel like we have to rouse the Nats fans out of their slumber. It is Nats opening day. And we're trying to talk Nats and see what their forecast is for 2018 to see how they can go deeper in the playoffs. One Nats call.
Sounds weird.
One.
Sounds weird to say. It's opening day for the Nats when there was like 12 games yesterday.
Hey, they got rained out. Nothing they can do about Mother Nature at this point.
I got you. I don't know. I don't think they have too much talent. I think you want too much. You want that problem. Yeah,
of course you do.
Right,
you want Mike Rizzo to stockpile as much talent as possible the roster.
You want Max Scherzer and Strasburg at the top.
Right. Cakes, what's your theory?
You want a really good lineup. You want a really good
bullpen. How do the Nats get over the hump, Cakes?
Let me hear the Cakes philosophy. What has to happen for them?
I think 3 through 5 pitching wise has to be better than last year. Now Gio, I'm not talking about. He clearly had an amazing last year. Roark has to get better. And what are you going to get out of Cole? That's a big question mark, I think, for this team. I just don't see Gio having a 2.95 ERA again.
All right, let's say he doesn't.
I think he goes back to like playoffs, 3.2,
all right,
something
maybe
in that
he does.
Range.
Maybe it's higher. Who knows? And maybe in the playoffs, Dave Martinez doesn't use Gio. Hell, maybe they just make a trade before the deadline and they acquire another arm. You just never know.
Yeah.
Maybe Tanner pitches a lot better than they use Tanner in Game 3. But they believe me, their problem isn't having too much talent. You want guys like that.
Somehow they'll be okay with a lot of talent.
They just have to perform in that best of five. They have to perform in those games and can't make mistakes. Now, they could go out and play the Cubs again and hit 207 as a team. Oh, well. Small sample size. Everyone knows they're better than that. But in the playoffs, you just never know.
Nats fans are going to be so nervous.
If that happens again, like 4 out of 6 years, they've made the playoffs, which is great. Especially early on, it was new because the Nationals were a new team. They weren't very good for a while. Then they got good, and they make the playoffs. All right, you deal with one disappointment. You deal with two. Then you deal with three. Now you've dealt with four. If you get to 5 in 7 years, then all of a sudden you're treading into Caps territory.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of getting there, yes. They still have a long ways to go to get to Caps level.
But you know
level.
What? Somebody tweeted us at Junks Radio and said maybe we should praise teams like the Caps a little bit more for being consistently playoff contenders, and that's probably true. We should give them credit. They're a good organization. They compete every year.
And look, this is
but after a while, you get jaded and like you want more.
And this is a Caps team that a lot of people expected to take a pretty big step backwards this season.
Yeah,
they win the Metro again. So they are a resilient team. It's just a matter of can you get past the Pens in the playoffs?
Let's go to Andrew in Indian Head. Andrew, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Andrew?
Not a whole lot, guys. Just on my way to work.
What do you got?
You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to holler at you guys about Arrieta. I really think we should have picked up Arrieta. I mean, that fifth starter Cakes was talking about, I mean, we really – I don't know what Cole's going to do. I don't know if the guy they picked up is going to be any good. But I really think that they should have picked up Arrieta. I'm worried about that fifth starter spot.
Seemed like a good – well, Arrieta would have been their third starter, but it seemed like a good fit. And let's be honest, you're not really expecting much from A.J. Cole. If he has a good year, it's all gravy.
It's just too much money,
I think.
And
A.J. Cole is not going to pitch in the postseason. Certainly not going to start.
No.
So it comes down to, in the postseason, what Max and Strassi really do.
I think they just thought it was too much money based on the future where they do want to sign Bryce Harper.
Okay.
Let's go to Chris in New York. Chris, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, Junkies. Good morning. How you guys doing?
What's up, Chris? Man?
You know, I think, you know, it's Zimmerman at first base. You know, he didn't play anything in the preseason. He's got to do well in the regular season, but, you know, you can't have him in the postseason striking out 3 times with guys on base in the postseason. So, yeah, hopefully he'll keep it going and hopefully perform this, you know, at some point in the postseason.
That is true. Everyone's got to hit.
You wonder how it's going to work out with Zimmerman.
It's going to be interesting to see how he starts off this year.
Because if he starts off poorly, there's going to be a lot of criticism.
What do you have, 2 at-bats in the actual spring training games?
Yeah, he's just doing his minor league thing.
Now, I know he had 60 or so at-bats in the minor league deal, but who knows? I mean, we have no idea what effect that's going to have
in the
first
really
month
well,
of the season.
Then that's going to be a trend. Other players are going to want to follow his lead.
Well,
oh, absolutely.
Veterans.
Why wouldn't you? If he keeps you fresher during the regular season?
So we will
but
talk
apparently
more
he was hitting really well. I mean, he told us down there when we were down there in West Palm, he said, I feel good. I'm hitting the ball good. Now, again, the kids he's playing against in the minors are a lot different than he would have been playing in spring training games.
Yep. We will talk more Nats. Dave Jagler, the voice of the Nationals, right here on 106.7 The Fan, will join us coming up at 8:45. But coming up next, we'll give you a chance to win some tickets to the Nationals home opener. We also have Jay-Z Beyonce tickets. You can call in now to play the morning matchup at 800-636-1067. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. And I brought my son in here. About a year ago, we played Are You Smarter Than a Fourth Grader?
Right.
Which was Dylan against AWOD, and Dylan took him down. I believe the winning question was, what's the capital of Michigan? And that is where AWOD guessed it was Ann Arbor, spelled it A-N-N.
Right.
Or no, he spelled it A-N.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's Lansing. So Dylan took him down, and he's smarter than a fourth grader. And today, since we had prizes to give away, and Dylan's joining me because his sister is visiting University of Maryland. And hopefully it goes well. She's visiting it with her mom. And she'll maybe choose Maryland. She got into NYU, and I'll be broke if she goes to NYU. We
saved J.P. Flame a lot of ducats.
Yes. So congratulations for getting into NYU, but it costs a lot of money. We figured maybe we'd do some sort of rematch. Now, it's not going to be, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Dylan's a fifth grader. But AWOD, come on in here. We're going to do tournament trivia, and here's the way it's going to work.
Matching wits with AWOD.
We're going to make it hard. We'll throw out a tournament question, and then listeners will have to bet on Dylan and AWOD. Okay, they have to get both aspects right. They have to bet on whether Dylan gets it right or wrong,
yeah,
and whether AWOD gets it right or wrong. We'll reveal the answers, and if they match up, then they'll win the prize. So it's kind of a two-part game. Well, get it?
Dylan's already winning the shirt game. I mean, look, yeah, look at that, that shirt. Horrible, old,
oh, that
promo,
terrible.
Wrinkled,
turns mic on.
Mess you're wearing.
When is the last time you've ironed?
I iron button-up shirts like every Friday, but a t-shirt, I just throw it on.
What's on tap tonight?
It's Friday, Rick.
In your life?
last night I went out.
No, what's on tap for tonight?
Oh, for tonight? No, I'll take it easy tonight.
Oh, you are?
I'm still hungover.
Are you celebrating Passover tomorrow?
Still hungover.
Yeah, my mom's having a Seder.
Very nice.
You know, I'm going to find the afikoman. You guys don't get that.
I don't get that reference.
All right, let's get to the game. Let's punch up our first contestant. I believe it's Mike and Tyson's.
No, he wants to talk Naz. Rich and Olney.
Okay.
Ah, Rich from my hood.
Richie.
Rich from Olney. What's up, Rich? Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Rich, what is the best prize you've ever won on this show?
Nats tickets.
You've won Nats tickets. Okay. Well, we have Nats home opener tickets on the line.
Yeah, we got more for you.
All right. You're going to bet on both of these guys. The first question, it's tournament trivia. All of it's going to be tournament trivia. You filled out a bracket, correct, AWOD?
A movie bracket or an NCAA bracket?
NCAA bracket.
Yeah, I did.
He did. And Dylan, you filled out a bracket?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody knows the final four teams. Actually, I'm not sure if AWOD knows the final four teams.
Yeah, I do. Loyola, Chicago, Michigan, Villanova, Kansas.
All right. I want you to write down the four teams that Michigan beat on the way to the final four.
AWOD, okay. The next
cover
Seth
your
Davis.
Paper. And Rich, you're going to bet on whether Dylan gets them right and whether AWOD gets them right. Michigan is the 3 seed. They face Loyola Chicago in the Final Four. By the way, Cakes and I will be hosting a semifinals viewing party at Tap Sports Bar, MGM National Harbor.
Correct.
They won 4 games on the way to the Final Four.
I think I'm going to bring a 5-hour energy to that appearance.
I got plenty for you.
I know you do.
There's no way AWOD's going to get Michigan's first round.
All right, so does Rich Maloney, does he have to match with both to win? Okay. I mean, Rich from Only knows where the smart money is.
Well, hold on. Let these guys write some teams down here.
All right, Dylan, cover your paper once you're done, because he may cheat.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him to plagiarize.
All right, Rich, first of all, it's two-part. So,
how many do you have so far, do you think?
My 11-year-old son, are you going to bet on him or against him? He has to name all 4 teams that Michigan beat on the way to the Final Four.
By the way, not many people could do that.
I couldn't do it.
It would be tough.
I'm betting on him.
All right. And how about Adam Epstein, who's celebrating Passover tomorrow?
Yeah.
Right, you're betting on Dylan. You're betting against AWOD. First, let's look at AWOD's list.
My memory's so hazy right now. I wrote NC State, crossed it out, and then wrote Florida State.
All right,
they did beat Florida State to get to the Final Four. Yeah.
So,
I'll give you help. They won at the buzzer in one game. Do you know?
I don't remember we talked about this game.
Wagner.
No.
Oh, got the confidence.
It's a team in Texas.
Who did they beat at the buzzer?
A&M.
Houston. No.
They beat Houston.
They beat A&M, but not the buzzer.
Dylan, reveal your paper to the cameras.
My paper was Montana, Houston, Texas A&M, Florida State.
Rich, you're a big winner.
Winner, 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 winner.
You win Nats tickets again, my friend, in the O-Town. You have a pair of tickets to the Nats home opener April 5th at Nats Park, brought to you by the proud partner of the Washington Nationals, Papa John's. Papa John's has great discounts every day. How about 2 large, 2-topping pizzas for $22? See all of the offers under specials at papajohns.com.
Dylan, do you know what seeds those teams were?
Michigan?
Well, Michigan's a 3. The teams they beat.
Montana was a 14. Houston was a 6.
How do you pronounce the big white guy on Michigan?
Wagner.
Yeah. Why are you trying to show off?
No,
why are you trying to flex?
They don't teach that on Nickelodeon. Stop playing with Legos, all right? Look it up. Wagner.
Right. I love how he gets backed into a corner.
Of course, got to fire out, yeah, man.
Just comes out swinging.
How canned was that?
Against a fifth grader.
I don't know. Made me laugh, though.
All right, let's punch up the next contestant.
It's Craig in Alexandria.
What's up, Craig?
Craigie. What's up?
Hey, Dougie.
Craig. All right, you get the game. You got to bet on or against Dylan, on or against AWOD, and you got to get both aspects correct.
Got it.
I mean, unless you're a total idiot, you know which way to bet here.
All right, so since you have a good memory of what happened in the last round.
Can I ask one?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, the last round?
Well, no, it could be whatever you want.
Okay. Go ahead. All right. I think this is a fair question. Who did Purdue get beat by in the tournament in the second round?
So who took out the Boilermakers?
I mean, they were a 2 seed. You know, not a huge upset, but based on the seedings, it was.
And Craig, you're playing for Jay-Z and Beyonce tickets. They're appearing at FedEx Field this summer.
My son will be bitter. I'm not playing for Nats tickets.
All right, who are you betting?
Stop complaining.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah, boo-hoo to you. Hold up. Wait, AWOD cheated. I just swear to God.
Come on, Jimmy, you're a snitch.
You cheated.
Did he want
I saw
what
him
did he
cheat.
Do?
Your son no, doesn't know how to cover his paper.
You
he hasn't passed
cheated.
Third grade.
Craig, who are you betting on? And guess your first answer is what your answer is. Because I don't even know if Dylan's right. Craig.
Well, I'm betting on Dylan, but if AWOD cheated, I'm kind of a bind here. I would certainly bet against AWOD.
No, he wrote two teams down.
First answer is wrong. AWOD's wrong.
Okay, so you're betting on Dylan against AWOD. AWOD, I'm not sure. Purdue, who did they beat? AWOD wrote Butler. And Dylan, what did you write?
Texas Tech.
Ooh, AWOD. So Butler was the first?
Yes.
He's right. They lost to Butler.
Oh!
No, they lost to Texas
Tech. No, I'm sorry, they lost to Texas Tech. They beat Butler.
Maybe Dylan should host the sports page.
Give
By
him a
way,
shot.
Did you see AWOD? He thought he was right with Butler.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry, I bought
Does Craig win? Yes, Craig's the winner. You've got a pair of tickets to the second added show of Jay-Z and Beyonce's On the Run 2 tour, July 27th at FedEx Field. You can win your way in. All week long with 106.7 The Fan. Those tickets are courtesy of Live Nation.
All right, we got one more to give?
Dylan, get through the ACT? You just got to get good with your eyes like I did there.
The sage advice you're giving.
Get good with your eyes, yeah, silly grammar.
By the way, what's hilarious is he put Butler, right?
Yep.
And then he creeps over. I saw him, and he saw the Dylan wrote Texas Tech.
You're not a good cheater.
He immediately crossed out Butler, and he writes Texas Tech. And then when you said Butler was the answer, he got all excited and wanted credit for it.
You got to be more smoother than that.
Well, I got away with it. JP just caught me.
Yeah. So we got nothing else to give away?
That's it. Thank you, Dylan.
All right, good job.
Thank you, AWOD.
I have two words for you.
Against them.
A wrinkle release. You might want to look at that option on the dryer.
All right, coming up next, best-selling author and Washington Post columnist John Feinstein for Fridays with Feinstein on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.